Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.
The person who writes about her experience is not the same person who had the experience. The ability to write about it is proof of change, of great distance. Not everyone is willing to admit this, but it's true. In all a writer's supposed self-exposure, her claim to authentic experience, the thing the writer omits reporting on is her galling idea that her life might become a subject put to paper, might fill the pages of a book.
That's Rachel Kushner reading an excerpt from the title essay of her collection, The Hard Crowd, Essays 2000 to 2020. Kushner is the author of the critically acclaimed novels The Flamethrowers and The Mars Room. The Flamethrowers was a finalist for the National Book Award for Fiction 2013, and The Mars Room was shortlisted for the 2018 Man Booker Prize. The Hard Crowd collects 19 essays written over the last 20 years. They demonstrate that Rachel is as comfortable and sharp with her nonfiction as she is with her novels. We caught up with Rachel at her home in Los Angeles to talk about The Hard Crowd and how her writing strikes the perfect balance of propulsive entertainment and intellectual heft.
I'm not thinking of a specific reader when I write, ever. And I think it's because I don't feel that that would be an effective approach for me as much as trying to please myself. A pretty stern judge is an approach that works for me as a strategy. So in trying to please myself, I think I'm balancing a lot of different things in terms of wanting the writing to have a kind of verve and energy and, you know, even to be like a little bit crude or hopefully kind of sexy, but also deal with things and employ a rigor that challenges me and brings me to a level of understanding that I did not possess when I sat down to write the thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You use the words energy and verve, and those seem to be a big part of your writing style, to me anyway. How would you describe your writing style?
You know, it's hard when you're the writer. It's like, what do you see when you look in the mirror? Whatever I see is probably pretty interpolated by a lifetime of figuring out, you know, what I want to see, what I like and don't like. In terms of voice and writing, I think that for better or worse, my writing does all seem to have a kind of recognizable voice or tone to it. And it hasn't changed that much over the years, which isn't to say it's static at all. I'm always learning new things, especially in the realm of fiction writing and how to approach the puzzle of the novel. In terms of my essays, you know, the first one in the book was published 20 years ago, and the tone of it is not that different from how I write now, even if there are details and scenes in that essay that I absolutely would not be able to conjure now had I not written down those details and scenes when I was much closer to the time in my life when they occurred. But in terms of like coming up with descriptors, I really don't know. I hear from people that it's a little bit dense in the sense that I try to pack a lot into the sentence and then maybe let the next sentence begin with a new idea rather than kind of filling things in an airy way. I'm always looking for where to cut and clip to sort of freight a lot of meaning in a short space of time.
Yeah. The final sentences of your essays made a very strong impression on me. And you've said that you like the radical cut, like film over. Can you explain what you mean by that?
In terms of my essays, I think I do like a kind of hard cut at the end that sometimes involves a sort of swerve, whether in logic or tone. And I really enjoyed having the opportunity to re-examine the essays that I chose for the book. They all had to kind of be talking to one another. So I only chose maybe like a third of or a quarter of the essays that I've written that I feel would be good enough to fit into some kind of book. as I started opening them up and looking at them and kind of subjecting them to new changes, each individually as a discrete entity, and also according to how they spoke to one another so that there weren't repetitions and that so that things could sort of echo in thematics and, you know, sort of return. I saw in a few places that I could completely change the ending and put a new ending. And sometimes it took me by surprise what that ending ended up being. But there are a few that I would say have a more hard cut. Like at the end of this essay about Cormac McCarthy's Border Trilogy, the ending of the first of that Border Trilogy, All the Pretty Horses, there's this very strange image that McCarthy uses of the young cowboy riding up through the mountains of northern Mexico as he returns to Texas. And he pales into the landscape is the language that McCarthy has chosen for that. And so then in the original essay, I had talked about the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse and maybe that language kind of auguring death or suggesting death. And then when I did my revision, I just wrote, he is death, capital D. And then that's the end of the essay. And I think it takes a few passes at an essay, maybe over a few years, to come to a really hard ending and feel like it's appropriate, because that just wouldn't have occurred to me when I was first writing the essay.
Yeah, you mentioned that particular scene in McCarthy's All the Pretty Horses as one of your favorite moments in literature. Can you tell us a bit, you touched on it, but can you tell us a bit more about this scene and why it means so much to you?
Well, really just for the reasons that I cited.
Mm-hmm.
As I say in the essay, he's doing something with the whole history of the myth of the frontier and the promise of the frontier and this idea of an American Adam, meaning, you know, a sort of pure and innocent spirit who gets to come to this, you know, unmarked blank canvas and stake out a new life. Of course, we all know that this is not a blank canvas, the United States of America. Many people had been living here for tens of thousands of years. And in order to make it blank, our founding fathers employed genocide. So by the time you get to the end of that book, this idea of this boy paling into the landscape suggests that he has undergone a haunting transfiguration into a figure that augurs death. And to me, it's a really magnificent moment. I also think that Cormac McCarthy is a fantastic writer, especially his early, like his first five novels. I mean, the Border mm-hmm. Trilogy I like. It's not my absolute favorite. There is a certain kind of reduction in the prose, like a sameness where after you've read 1,100 pages of it, you feel like you drank 10 gallons of chocolate milk or something.
yeah.
But I really do love that closing moment at the end of the first book because it is so haunting. But he's done a lot of work to poke holes in myths before he gets there. So that when he comes around to something darker with more gravitas, he's not relying on romanticism to get there. He's already shot this romantic myth of the West full of holes.
Yeah, very well said. The opening essay in The Hard Crowd is Girl on a Motorcycle. Can you tell us a bit about this essay?
I wrote this essay about an illegal road race spanning the length of the Baja Peninsula. It starts at the border into Tijuana at San Ysidro, which is south of San Diego. This race no longer exists and was highly illegal. But the idea behind it was that it started at the border below San Diego and went all the way to the tip of Baja, Cabo San Lucas, which is about 1,100 miles. And the idea behind this race is that you're supposed to finish it in one day, meaning less than 24 hours. So the essay is about that race, and it's about my experience riding in that race, which I only did once. And when I wrote it, I had still remembered the details of it were very fresh in my mind in terms of things like what I did to my own Kawasaki Ninja 600, how I prepped the bike, who was on the race with me, et cetera, et cetera. But when I went to look at that essay, I knew I wanted it to open this collection and be the first thing, not because it was the first thing I published, but because it gives an account of who I was before I became a writer. When I went to look at it, I thought, this is all so extreme. You know, was I exaggerating? I mean, I do make my living professionally by exaggerating in the form of fiction. So I wanted to sort of run it by a couple of friends and let them tell me if the piece was realistic, because it all seemed pretty unbelievable. And I gave it to two people who still work and live in the world of motorcycles. One is a Ducati crew chief and the other builds land speed vehicles that he runs at the Bonneville Soft Flats. And they'd both been on that race and said, no, this is right. And this is what it was. So I'm really glad I wrote those things down when I did.
It's very powerful. My wife, Catherine, is really into motorcycles, but I'm not really interested in them at all. But your writing in that essay made me very interested. So that was very well done. In your closing essay, the title essay, The Hard Crowd, you mentioned Charles Wilford's 1955 novel, Pickup. And I've read that this book is an influence on your work. How so?
I discovered this novel, Pickup, on somebody else's bookshelves, which is the way I sometimes do my best reading, in that it's not a book I would have known to look at. And I started reading it one night and was just totally mesmerized by this book, which takes place in San Francisco at mid-century. And it's the story of these two alcoholics, a man and a woman, who spend a lot of their time drinking. I mean, in a way, they kind of remind me of Piper Laurie and Paul Newman in that great movie, The Hustler.
You talk kind of funny, but I like it.
I used to be an actress.
Yeah, what do you do now?
I'm a college girl. 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go to college.
Don't look like a college girl.
I'm the emancipated type. Real emancipated.
No, I didn't mean that. Whatever that means. I mean, you just don't look young enough.
I'm not.
So why go to college?
Got nothing else to do on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
What are you doing the other days?
I drink.
Piper Laurie and Paul Newman are these two really lost, depressed people who drink and kind of sustain each other until they can't anymore. And Pickup is kind of like that too. And it takes place in a part of San Francisco, the Civic Center, where I spent a lot of time in my adolescence and actually write about in the title essay, The Hard Crowd, of this book.
Mm-hmm. We talked to crime novelist George Pelicanos here on Beta a few years ago, and he said that one of the things that he likes about Pickup is the ambiguous approach that Wilford took to the protagonist's race.
So the very last line of the novel is describes him as a tall, lonely Negro walking in the rain. Mm. He's black, and you don't know it until the end of the book.
Is that one of the things about Pickup that intrigues you?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's so interesting that that George Pelicanos talked about Pickup. I actually got a note from him after he read The Mars Room, just out of the blue, and he was so complimentary. I was kind of blown away, because I'm not, you know, somebody who has focused on plotting in the way that a writer like he has done so. But if the book met with his approval, I was deeply flattered. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. He really likes Pickup. There's a Dorothy Hughes novel called The Expendable Man that mm-hmm. does something similar to what Charles Wilford's Pickup does, in terms of shocking and deepening and totally logical thematic of race. And both books did that, and I think kind of from similar eras. And, you know, if somebody was interested, they could write something really fascinating by putting those two books into sort of a comparison and distinction.
Interesting. So I should probably read both of those books. Thank you very much, Rachel Kushner. It was such a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for reading my book and asking questions. Nice to talk to you as well.
Rachel Kushner is the author of The Hard Crowd, Essays, 2000 to 2020. Find out more at wpr.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Joshua Rofe, Richard Thompson, and Rachel Kushner. Beta is available to follow on Spotify or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
So I was hooked from that moment on. That's how I lost my job and my friends.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
I don't care how big, ugly, and smelly you are.
And thanks to you, our alphas. Please be safe out there. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
But I'm sure you'll see that as soon as he gets going, there is absolutely nothing to stop him.